The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
What he's mentioning. Okay. So three more halachos, and then we're done with the parak. Ha haroses, which it just occurred to me now. I don't know what the origin of the word haroses is, because haros is like a clay shard or a clay. So I don't know if it's based on the, but I don't think you call like.
With the sama?
I think it's with a samech. I think, yeah. So either way, haroses, mitzvah midivrei sofrim. So the haroses is the weirdest mitzvah. I don't know if you've ever gone.
Asked about it yesterday, but I was like, I'll wait till.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. It is the weirdest mitzvah for several reasons, but we'll read it first. Mitzvah midivrei sofrim. It's a rabbinic mitzvah. Zecher la, yeah, Zecher latit shayu ovdin vob mitzrayim. It is a remembrance of the clay that the or the mud that the Egyptians, sorry, that they worked with in Egypt. Ketad osin osa. How do you make it? So it gives two different recipes. Okay, so in yeah, so let's do the first recipe first. First recipe was in the Pirush Mishnayos. Yeah. Well, actually, it was funny. I think it is gross, but I've only spent one Pesach here that was during COVID, and I had Estes that she made. Well, she makes the Rambam one, and it was not bad. It was oh, nice. Okay, it's good. Yeah. So you'll taste it. So he says, "Charoses is tarovis sheish ba chamitzus." So that's the definition. It is a mixture that has pungency. Okay, right? Vinegar. Ukein tevin. Zechelatit. It's like, and it resembles the straw as a remembrance of the mud. All right. V'kach anachnu osim oza. This is how we make it. Shurin te'inim o tamarim. We soak figs or dates. U'mevashlim osan. We cook them. V'dachin osan ad shisrakuhu. We crush them until they become soft. I think shisrakuhu is probably like, they become mushy is probably the better translation. V'lashin osan b'chometz. And then we knead them in vinegar. V'nosnim b'tochan sanbal. Is a mintavlin. So we put in a sanbal, which I don't know what that is. Oh, carnes, I looked that up, couldn't find it either. Oh, ezov blishchiga, or hyssop without grinding it. Okay, fine. So that says, and then he says, v'rabbi tzadok sh'omer haroses mitzvah, chayav ladato levarach asher kidishanon b'mitzvosav v'tivan al chilas haroses b'ina halacha. So one manda amar says that it's a mitzvah, and you actually have to make a bracha and eat it. And he says that's not the halacha. But then the confusing thing is, what do you do with it? So here the Rambam says, first of all, he gives his recipe here. V'ketzed osinosa, how do you make it? Lokhim tamarim o grogoros. You take dates or dried figs. He says, t'enim yivayishos, o tzimukim, or raisins, v'kiyot ben. V'dorsin osan, you crush them or mash them. V'nosnin l'tochan chometz, and you put vinegar in them. U'metablin osan b'tvalin k'mo tit b'tevin, and you season them with spices like mud and straw. U'mevin osan al shulchan b'leil Pesach, and you bring them onto the table on the night of Pesach. Okay, and then one more source, which we'll just skip ahead for because I think it's relevant here in Ches. Haroset, I think he talks about it. Oh, that. I went to Lulav.
Mm.
Sorry. Haroset. Yeah, so he clearly has the dipping thing, but then he says, I'm going to talk about more. So Rama has you dip everything like Haroset. But you know what? Actually, yeah. Maybe it's easier if we read it here. Okay, well, whatever. So the two, what's weird about this mitzvah? I mean,
you just bring it to the table?
Yeah, as you bring it to the table, right? You have it. And so the thing is, that's the funny thing is, he does say that you dip it, but the question is like, if I had to describe the weirdness of it, it seems less structured than other mitzvos. Like Mevino, here he says Mevino san al shulchan b'leila Pesach. Okay, and fine. It's true that he says in the instructions that you dip stuff in it, but he doesn't say to do that here. And also what's weird about it is like, what's the deal with this, you know, vague recipe? Like usually you would think that, let's say like if I said like, if I gave you the equivalent of this kind of thing for Arba Minim, right? You'd be like, that's a little too vague to be halacha, you know? And like, here, let's, even the fact that he says here raisins, or he says tamarim or grogoros, like if you make haroses and you vary the recipe, how much do you have to vary before it's no longer haroses, you know? Like, is it just that it has to look like straw and mud and taste like that? And that's also just a weird way to say it. Yeah, Akiva?
Well, it seems like, I mean, there's, you have like a Seder plate and stuff that are also things just kind of for show on Pesach, which is a little interesting. I mean,
I don't know about that. Well, because the matzah has, the mitzvah objects have definitions and the non-mitzvah objects don't, right? So like matzah, halachic definition, maror halachic definition, the shnei tavshilin are just reminders, so that, like, you know, and they're not a mitzvah either. Like, this is a mitzvah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is just weird as a mitzvah. Yeah.
Making it clear of what the purpose is.
Yeah.
So I guess that right. could, in a sense, show why, like, the recipe is not clear, because if it, and I guess you have to say, how does it achieve that purpose? But if you make something look like more.
Right, but let's let's for example, like he seems to say that the bitterness is the thing, which is why it has to be with vinegar. But like, let's say people use grape juice, you know, and like there, I remember there's one Pesach where like I think I didn't have walnuts, which I usually like using walnuts, which I don't even know if they had walnuts back then in the Middle East. But I was like, okay, we have macadamia nuts. But as I was making it, I was like, at what point does it not become harosa? You know, what were you gonna say?
Yeah, are you going back to your question from before?
Yeah,
you're kind of asking, like, Manashev, like, is this halachic or not? Like, is there something wrong with giving us like his example, or in which case, like, you just have to make something that looks like mortar to you and tastes like mortar to you, or is this like actually like halachic and like this is the recipe you have to use?
I mean, I hear that way of asking it. I was saying, given the fact that it is halachic, it doesn't seem halachic, but because I don't think you could call it mitzvah midivrei sofrim if it weren't halachic.
Well, mitzvah midivrei sofrim is to have the charosis.
Right.
And then his ingredients could just be the way that they did it or the way he did it.
Right. So then what is the source of a mitzvah then? Like,
make it zecher latif, make something that.
Just anything that has to, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You could say that. So then,
that's fine.
And that's why here's another thing is that, like, I do it with the cinnamon sticks, you know, like I take cinnamon sticks because that looks like straw, right? But I know that a lot of people just put cinnamon in it. How's that like straw, you know, like, and how many sticks do I need to have? You know, it feels like not halachic, you know.
3.4 ounces.
Right, exactly. Yeah, if you use like some word like kazayis, like it doesn't even say the amount, right? Like if you have a spoonful of charosis, is that you know, are you yotze? And if not, then like, why doesn't he give a shear? You know, it's just a really amorphous, much like mud and straw. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Did you have something you want to say or no?
Is there any examples you can think of where there are ratios given?
Well, we saw that by the arbakosos, right? You know, and we see that by matzah with haotze. Matzah min hachitu min haorez. That if you make matzah out of rice and wheat, then it has to at least have the tam dagan. Like, so there's like, you know, there are things like that, you know, for halachic objects. Yeah. Okay. Now we get to maror. Achilas maror ina mitzvah min haTorah bifnei atma. The interesting structure, right? It's not a mitzvah from the Torah by itself. Ela tluhi b'achilas haPesach. It is dependent on the achilas haPesach. Shemitzvah asei achas. Lechol basar haPesach al matzah umrorin. It's a one mitzvah d'oraisa to eat the meat of the Pesach on matzah and maror. Umidivir sofrim lechol hamara levado b'layla zeh. And then the d'rabbanan is to eat the maror by itself. Afilu ein sham korban Pesach. Yeah.
From this halacha.
Yeah.
If you don't have maror in the time of Bais HaMikdash, you do not eat korban Pesach.
So I think we say, I have to look at this. I thought we say that. It's not ma'akev the Pesach, but the Pesach is ma'akev the maror. Let me just see if that's an open halacha in Korban Pesach.
That would make sense to me. But then the way you
right.
judge it is that it's
Teluya?
Mitzvah achas.
Right.
Teluya would tell me that the maror is
one directional.
Yeah. But then he says it's mitzvah achas.
Right. Let's see how he says it here. Eitzim shall no. Achilas basar pesach b'leilachim. This is in 8:1 in Korban Pesach. Achilas basar pesach b'leilachim. Each asar mitzvah cessation. Emar v'achlu as a basar b'leil azeh. Tzli ish matzos amonim yachluhu. You should eat this meat on this night, roasted over the fire, and matzos and on mar you should eat it. Bein matzah umar ne'akvin. Im lo matzanu matzah umar yotze yidecho baso b'achilas basar haPesach levado. Right. So if you don't have matzah mar, then I found a juicy thing. I got to talk about that after. Then you fulfill your chiyuv with the eating of the meat of the Pesach alone. Va mar below Pesach ina mitzvah. Shenemar al marorim yuchluhu. Yeah. Right. So it seems to go one way. Yeah. Okay. So then he says, what is mar? Marorim. So this is the classic type of problem here is that mar is referring to a real world object. A real world species. And there's always the question of like, how do we know which one It is. Okay. And even though the Mishnah lists it, how do we know that that's that? Okay. So we have Mrorim Hamorim B'Torah, Hin Ha, he's list five, Hachazeres, Vaha Aloshin, Vaha Tamcha, Vaha Harchavina, Vaha Maror. Kol Echad Mechameshes Mina Yerek, Elu Nikra Maror. Okay. So each of these is called Maror. So I wanted to look at two things. We've got Chabad.org that says, it is romaine lettuce, endives, horseradish, date ivy, and wormwood. Okay. And then we've got Makbili, who gives all the scientific names, Lactuta sativa, which I guess is going to be romaine lettuce. That does not look like romaine. It's probably the...
That's just lettuce.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... what kind of lettuce is Lactuta?
Oh, lettuce is called
that. Iceberg. Yeah, that's iceberg. Yeah. You did say... Someone said iceberg. Yeah. Interesting. Comes from lactus, meaning milk.
Huh.
Due to the white sap. Oh, here we go. Three primary varieties of lettuce are butterhead, kosas, no, and loose leaf. Yeah. So I guess this is part of that. I don't really know my scientific thingies. All right. Then we've got what?
I know a guy who might actually. I'm actually in a chat about like plants in Torah.
Black market Maror dealings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Kichorium intibus, which is this guy.
Chicory.
Chicory, yeah. So chicory, I have seen it as an ingredient. I've never seen it like eating chicory, you know? I don't know. Okay, there's that. Yeah, it'd be bitter probably. Chicorium endivia, that's probably endives. Yeah, so endives. I remember two years ago then... Zev and Isaac were in my Rama Bakius. I forgot about Chaim was also there, but I forgot some of them didn't know what endives are. So I bought endives and we all had like an endive party. They're bitter, but they're tasty bitter. They're like, yeah, to me. And then this Eryngium, which sounds like a general thing. It says a species of flowering plant in the family, blah, 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 native to Greece, Israel, Jordan, Lebanon, Palestine, and Syria. Yeah, fine. And then he also mentions where to go here. E criticum. Oh, that was more. Oh, I think I accidentally closed one of them. Eryngios. And then the last one was Lactuta cereola, which is another milkweed, I guess. Okay, yeah. Compass plants. Oh, that's cool because the sun and the upper leaves twist round to their margins upright. Yeah.
What happened to E criticum?
What happened to it? Did I not? I think I didn't. Look at the right one. Let me type it in again. E criticum. Oh, that was it.
Wow.
Okay. Eryngium criticum. Yeah. So there you go. Those are the morors, I guess. Yeah. And so my understanding is that from the Rav, at least, he said that we know for sure that romaine lettuce is the type that was used. I guess probably my guess is probably because it was available and there's like a continual masora, and then horseradish also somehow got in there, but I don't really know. So that's why I think we're knowing to do with romaine, because it's for sure. Also, another thing is that I did not know this we'll finish reading. So you can mix and match, or you could eat all of one or kazayas of all of them. But as long as they're still moist, meaning fresh. Yotzin bekelach shalahen, your yotzi with the kelach. Kelach is the stalk, I believe. Let's just check and see if that's correct. Stem. Yeah, the stem. Afil yavish, even if it's dry. So I guess that's like with the horseradish, how they do it. Vim shalakan or kavashan or bishlan, but if you cook them, or I guess boil them, pickle them, or cook them, in yotzin behen, you're not yotze. Yeah. So I don't know where I first read this, but if you've ever heard this midrash that it's called, well, there's a classic question people ask of like romaine lettuce is not bitter, right?
I mean, it is a
stem. Ah, okay, right. So one answer I've heard is that the stem is bitter.
The white one is
isn't that good. Probably the ones that we have that taste good.
Yeah. So, really, so the other, you have another answer.
Do we know how we've tasted 2,500 years ago?
Well, that's what I keep saying. Right. Yeah. Right. That's a good question also, but I've heard, what was it?
Or just that we tend to eat lettuce with a lot of dressing.
No, but if you eat more romaine lettuce on Pesach, though, then. But it's not bitter though. Sweet. Yeah.
So I was actually going to ask, do you think it's like Dafka, like the white part? Or like,
so I did see someone say that the it's referring to the stem, but I saw another explanation, and I think Rashi quotes it, but if Rashi doesn't quote it, I'll just paraphrase it. Shmoyus. It's going to be in 12, I think. Maror. Roaring. No, Amru. We got another. Yeah, I'm roaring. Let's see if Rashi says. Roaring. Kol Esav Mar Nikra Mar Vitzivam Lechom Mar. No, he doesn't say it was a Rashbam. Not Rashbam. No, so someone says that it is. It starts off bitter and ends up sweet. Sorry, starts off sweet and then ends up bitter. Just like with the Avdus in Mitzrayim, it started off sweet and then ended up bitter. So that I heard is the explanation, I think either for romaine or for something else, that we harvest it at a point where it is edible, but if you leave it growing, it becomes bitter. So it's not that it's tasting bitter, but it's that the species is a species that is bitter, which is I had not read that until like last year or something. Yeah.
Well, that's good. It could also be that at least for this purpose, we'd have to harvest it later.
No, it's identifying the species. It's not saying that you have to have an experience of bitterness.
But then if the tom for like mar is like, you know, like the zecher to like value mar v'sfeihem,
yeah.
Then we're not eating it as mar though.
But that doesn't mean that you have to experience the, you know, like there was...
Oh, that was the whole thing. Well,
that's why we eat it's a religion of ideas, Chaim. It's not a religion of sensory experiences. No, no, but no. That's the oversimplification. But the only two things. So my dad's grandfather was the last Orthodox Jew in our family, you know, until us. There's only two things I know about him, about like what he did. One was that he would eat. My dad has memories of being really young and seeing his grandfather eating like horseradish until he cried. And then the other one was on Yom Kippur in his non-leather shoes, he would put like pebbles so that he'd be like standing on like pain. And I was like, when I heard these things, I was like, both of those are not really Jewish ideas of like it's not, you know, it's true that there's a halachic thing that takes into account the inui of not wearing shoes and then the maror of the thing, but it's not that the point is to make yourself have the physical experience, like, you know. Yeah, so the
it seems like it maybe will go against that simple side.
That might be the case also. Yeah, yeah,
it's not awful.
Yeah. The thing I was going to mention, by the way, which I'll just mention it now unless you want to go into it, where is the I don't have the wrong one open anymore. Oh, actually, no, we have it in, I think he mentions it in the beginning. I think he uses that Lashon, right?
I think so.
In the Zman, or it's either here, it's in the, yeah. Right, so I think we raised this question of, if you don't have matzah and maror there, then are you still chayav?
Right,
in Sipur. So what do you say, or what do we say?
I would say based on, I would say definitely yes, but I can't.
I would say definitely yes also, but then the question is really, what's up with this Lushan, you know?
Oh, that's just like that. Maybe that's like the Shah that you're fighting.
Okay, right. Yeah. So, yeah. I have to access them on Facebook.
Maybe because of your chayav, but it's not really Sipur, that unless you're showing him matzahs.
Oh, that's okay. That meaning that you're incapable of doing the mitzvah. Right. Yeah. Like if it's not there because you're talking about the matzah, that's a good answer. So Avigail Deutsch asked the question to me this morning, and I bought a Masivta Haggadah. Oh, I'm so excited to use it. So I busted it out. And turns out that the answer to this question is a machlokas between the Griz and the Truma Sedeshin. Can we do it really quickly?
Sure.
Okay. So the Griz raises the question. This is in the Masifta. It says, I guess it's from the Haggadah, Mi Beis Levi. He's topic, so he's in doubt. Ha'im ha-drasha b'shash ma'asam munachim lefnecha, he drasha al zman ha-chiyuv, right? So is it on the zman? Shizman chovas ha-sipur hu b'layla sha'az mechuyav mechilas matzah amara, that the time of your obligation in sipur is the time when you have the obligation to eat matzah and mara. Oshu din be'etzem ha-sipur, shetzarech lios kishu munachim lefanav matzah amara mamash. Or if it's a din in the sipur itself, that it needs to be resting before you, literally. V'nachamina ba'ofen shekvar kiyim. It's funny he puts this nafamina. Shkvar kim es mitzvah achilas matzah umar v'silkam milfano. The nafamina is, let's say you ate matzah and mara already and you remove them. Okay, I would say the nafamina is if you don't have them, but whatever. Im yesh alav adayim chiyuv l'saper b'yitzis mitzrayim. Do you have a chiyuv to be misaper? So the hasik, he concludes, sheish din lomar es ha-hagada al matzah umar mamish. That the din is you have to say hagada on matzah and mara literally. K'mishmaos divri ha-gemara lechem oni. That's another thing, is the bread of answering that you have to say. But see, but that's really a statement about the matzah. That it's the I mean, he's bringing it as a rye, but it's not like a necessary thing. That matzah has to have the word said over it. Okay, it's not just a limit on the zman. All right, fine. The grip Farlow, I don't know who that is. Badas kama rishonim shim ein lo lefan of matzah umara eno yachal lekayim mitzvah sipur yitzis mitzrayim below pesach mishum hadrasha shel bavurzeh. Okay, right. So other rishonim hold this. Okay, but then the trumas adeshin, who I thought was a rishon, but maybe he's an early achron, kasev haagada atzma by nami delihavi b'shas shiroi lechol matzah umara. So he says the haagada should be said at a time that's fit for matzah umara. V'gamrinan v'darshinan v'higarta lebincha v'hule v'avur zeh lo amarti ela b'shas shish matzah umara unachim lefnecha ritzon olomar b'shas shiroi lechol matzah umara. Umidvarav nira she'ino tzarech shiyu lefan of matzah umara mamish. Okay, va'apila dehem akayim mitzvah sipur yizdiz mitzrayim. And that's how I would have thought about it also. V'chin kasav ha-minchas chinuch, she'pashut she'matzah umara inam ma'akvin es ha-sipur. It's pashut that they're not ma'akiv sipur. V'lo matinu she'mitzvah zo tiye tluya b'matzah umaror, ela she'torah kava she'zman, ha-mitzvah hu b'tesva b'shah she'mitzuyim al. Yeah, so it's a machlokas. Yeah, so it's interesting. God love the Torah, the Masifta.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very good. I'm so eager to use it. Yeah.
I hope mine's here. I might have left it in
Detroit. Oh, yeah. I mean, they have I bet if you wanted to get Rav Pesach's permission to buy one for Yeshiva, and then we could like use it over Pesach, you know? Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm going to be back in Detroit for the second half.
But not for the Seder.
It's true.
Yeah. All right. Let's stop here.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/ChaseQuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.